Well, good morning to you. Good morning. You know, somebody's got to stay and look after the things. But I'm very glad it's me. I want to welcome you this morning. And will you stand as we read God's word together? We're reading from Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Do not be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. Open our ears and our hearts that we may receive Jesus today through his word, in his name. Amen. Please be seated. My wife, BJ, and I enjoy watching the reality show Survivor Castaways. We've done that for many years, and what fascinates us is the way people from all different walks of life are taken out of their comfort zone and for 39 days placed with total strangers through many challenges have to strive to be the sole survivor. It takes courage, I think, firstly, to get on that show, and it certainly takes courage to participate for however many days you do survive. Now, we have come to the end of our series in Romans 8, More Than Conquerors, and so in line with our camp theme, More Than Survivor, we're going to look at Joshua's call here in chapter 1. In fact, Pastor Nathan, who's the speaker at the camp, will be speaking on the same passage at the camp being held now. In our passage, we see Joshua being called by God, and God telling him now that his servant Moses is dead, and he's instructing Joshua to take over the leadership of the people of Israel. It was as if God sort of called Joshua aside and said, I want to get you now out of your comfort zone for you to trust me, and I will give you the strength to fulfill your new position. Have you ever had that experience where you have suddenly had to take over another person's job or position and maybe felt very inadequate to do so? Can you imagine how Joshua must have felt when God told him that he has to now fill the shoes of Moses? Moses? the man who God had spoken to through the burning bush. Moses, the man who performed those miraculous signs in the front of Pharaoh of Egypt. Moses, who had stretched out his hand and divided the Red Sea so that the people of Israel could go through on dry land. Moses, the man to whom God called up on the Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments. Now Joshua finds himself the man to take over the leadership of a people known for their complaining and wishing that they were back in Egypt. Just an aside here, I think this also brings out the fact that no one is indispensable. Think about that. Even Moses is not indispensable. God will always have a successor. Isn't that wonderful? Well, coming back to Joshua, how is he going to manage this? What does he need to do in order to fulfill this awesome task? How does he become more than a survivor? The answer, as we're going to see, is the same as Moses needed, and what we also need to face the challenges of life and become more than a survivor: the power of God in our lives. What is interesting to note here, that three times in this passage, the Lord gives the instruction, be strong and courageous. And then in verse 9, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, dear friends, that same instruction is given to Moses by Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, by King David to the men of Jabesh Gilead in 2 Samuel 2:7, and by David to his son Solomon in 1 Kings 2:2. Then in the New Testament, we find that wonderful promise, Hebrews 13, 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And here, I think, is the unconditional promise to all of God's children. Whatever we face, we know that we will not face it alone. This was the consolation for Joshua. And I think it's a consolation for us today, when the path of life sometimes takes us through trials and suffering. So what about Christian courage? How can we be more than survivors today? How can we live out a courageous faith in a permissive and evil age? We all have battles that we have to overcome in our lives. No, we may not face the fiery furnaces or the lion's den or be stoned to death. We may not have to face being run out of town or have our property confiscated. We may not have to face being beheaded for our faith like those Coptic Christians in Egypt. But as we go through the various stages and experiences of life, sickness, death, death of loved ones, loss of a job, financial crisis, marriage problems, facing old age, maybe we face opposition and ridicule for being a Christian. How then do we face up to these challenges in our lives? Let's admit it. To live life, we need courage. And certainly to live the Christian life needs courage. Like Joshua, we need to be strong and very courageous. See, God came to Joshua personally to give him an exposition on courage. And we know God's promises to us, that as he was with Joshua every step of the way, so will he be with us. But sometimes we become too easily discouraged. We're too quick to give up. Things don't work out the way we think they should, and we begin to lose heart and lose hope. Sometimes we feel defeated before we have ever really begun and start to wonder, well, has God abandoned us? But he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. So we have every reason to be bold, firm, and steadfast. Let us see how Joshua became more than a survivor as we answer some questions. And the first question is this: what is Christian courage? The Christian life is all about having courage. The courage to face up to our sins, our faults, our failings, and then humbly ask God forgiveness and to keep on going with God. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, you can take notes. Christian courage is the willingness to say and do the right thing regardless of the earthly cost. Courage is putting our faith into action, to act in accordance with our beliefs, and to be able to stand up for what we believe no matter what comes at us. But sometimes we feel it's easier just to remain silent than to speak up for what we know to be right. Then we need to recall the words of Jesus in Mark 8:38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Wouldn't that be terrible? Considering all that our Savior has done for us, how would you feel if he turned and said, I'm ashamed of you because you were ashamed of me? We need courage so that we're not paralyzed by fear and anxiety. We need courage so that we do not cave in and compromise in our convictions due to peer pressure or difficult circumstances. You see, this kind of courage is not all about the superhero stuff we see in Hollywood. It's the courage to face life's everyday challenges. It's the choices we make that show whether we are courageous or cowardly. It is choosing what is right over what is convenient. It is choosing our convictions over our comfort. In short, it takes courage to be a Christian. It takes courage to obey God. This is especially true now in America, as we see more and more, and of course other parts of the world, but as we see Christians being sidelined, Christians considered out of touch, where billboards advertising a Bible for the Harvest Crusade have to be torn down. It takes courage to be a Christian, and will be more so. But remember what the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. In other words, we must have a heart that is filled with the power and love of the Holy Spirit within us to face our fears. Courage is indispensable for both living daily for our Lord Jesus Christ and for sharing the truth of the gospel. Now, it doesn't matter who we are or how long we may have been a Christian. There will come a time when we have to step out in faith and walk with God on a path that we've not taken before. I'll never forget my first night at boot camp in Rhodesia, the land I was born in. I was 17 years of age. I was a Christian, and I knew that I needed to take my stand as such and get on my knees that very first night. I was scared. It was my first time away from home, and if you see in our regimental photograph, I'm the smallest guy there. It was a barrack room full of guys that I'd never known. But I knew it was the right thing to do, so I did it. I was mocked and scorned. And in fact, one guy said that if he saw me on my knees again, he would knife me. Well, as you see, I'm still here. So what does Christian courage look like? If you're taking notes, it is the God-given ability to take risks and move through uncharted waters with the knowledge of God's abiding presence. See, it's the God-given ability to move forward without undue fear of cost, discouragement, or by emotional or spiritual pressure. It's a God-given quality of mind and spirit enabling us to meet danger, opposition, and challenges with fearless calmness and decisiveness, as Joshua did. This is what makes us more than a survivor. Second question, when will we need this courage? We all face different situations in life that require us to have courage. Maybe you can identify with these. Taking notes, first is human opposition. Perhaps it's confronting a friend who is living in sin, or responding to a boss who wants you to compromise your moral values. Or maybe God is calling you to stand up for your beliefs in a classroom, or refuse to give in to peer pressure. Whatever the issue, you will need courage to do what is right. We have that wonderful example of courage, don't we, in Daniel 3, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, about to be thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to the image of gold. Listen to the courage of these men in what they said in verses 16 to 18. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. Listen to this. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow, that takes courage. And there are many examples of this kind of courage, both in the scriptures and in human history up to this present time. Remember Peter and John as they were brought before the Sanhedrin. Listen to what they said in Acts 4, 19 to 20. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Don't forget, it was that same Peter who had not so long before denied knowing his Lord. Now, with that courage, he's able to make that stand. What courage! More than a survivor. Remember the early church father Polycarp, bishop of Smyrna in Asia Minor. He died a martyr's death about AD 155-160. The magistrate said to him, "Swear the oath to Caesar, and I will release you. Revile Christ." To which Polycarp replied in these famous words, "For 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" And he was put to death. What courage! More than a survivor. Then, of course, those Coptic Christians beheaded by the extremist Islamic terrorists. What courage! More than survivors. And friend, maybe you're facing opposition or persecution for your faith in Jesus. Maybe in your home, school, college, sports field, place of work. Then remember the words of our Savior, Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And in John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And in John 15, 20, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Or as the apostle Paul reminded us in 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, he says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In all of these things, we will need courage to be more than a survivor. Besides human opposition, there is, secondly, taking notes, spiritual oppression. There is a very real enemy who does not want us to accomplish God's will for our lives. His name is Satan. And he will do all he can to cause us to compromise our faith and our witness. He is the father of lies. And he will tell you plenty of them to get you off the course of following Jesus. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The devil is at war with us, and we need courage to be able to withstand his attacks. He is brilliant at tempting us into moral compromise, and any willful and continual sin will forfeit the blessings of God in your life. That is why God says to us in James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Yes, it takes courage not to try take matters into our own hands, but to trust God. Only then will we prosper and succeed in all that we do and be more than a survivor. Third question. How do we get this courage to be more than a survivor? Unfortunately, far too many people don't believe that we can be courageous Christians like Peter or those men and women of faith in the Bible or in the history of the church. Many see themselves like Joshua, probably at the way he first felt when God called him to take over from Moses. So let us see what the Lord had to say to Joshua and then apply it to ourselves. As we mentioned before, the Lord said to Joshua several times, be strong and courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm sure that Joshua felt weak and incapable of the task given to him. He needed the strength and assurance to take God at his word. There's a great deal to be learned from Joshua's life and the conversation God had with him. Let us briefly unpack this and see how Joshua could be strong and courageous, and how we can be as well. So what is it that God required of Joshua to be strong and courageous, and also requires of us? First and foremost, you're taking notes, obedience. Obedience is the first point. Verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. This difference is a top priority for the Christian. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is where notes are. The courageous Christian is the one who walks in obedience to God's word. You see, hearing and obeying are closely connected in the Bible. And this is our first duty to God. We all know that all was well in the Garden of Eden until Adam disobeyed God. And then sin entered into the world, and we see all the results of that. Obeying God is more important than even worshiping him. Remember King Saul, when he disobeyed God's command to completely destroy the Amalekites, and then he tried to still worship God by making a sacrifice himself. We then see that stinging rebuke of the prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of rams. In fact, if we disobey God, he's not going to accept our worship, however lavish it might be. And God has provided plenty of easily accessible insights for us in his word, and he expects us to take notice of them and live these out without deviation or compromise. Can you imagine Joshua had decided to deviate from God's commands and taken another path. Where would history have gone with that? You see, we think our decisions only affect us. Nothing is further from the truth. If we try to act independently of God, according to our own desires and plans, we will certainly fail, and we will bring others also into that failure. It is the godly who seek to walk in obedience to God. Those who strive to follow Him in everything as they commit themselves to Him. And all of God's blessings are for those who seek to obey Him with all their heart. You see, God's Word is our law for our life and our conduct and our action, because God's work must be done under the direction of God's way, which is in His Word. Jesus said in John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do what I command." If we want to make spiritual progress in our lives, we have to submit to the authority of God's Word. And the Apostle John reminded us in his letter, 1 John 5:3, "And his commands are not burdensome." Isn't that lovely? We think, oh, commands. But the commands of God, following Jesus, are not burdensome. We do it not because we have to. That would be wrong. That would be a burden. We do it because we want to, freely and willingly, lovingly, we want to obey. We must let nothing keep us from obeying God and seeking to always follow His will and plan. Don't fear men, fear God. The second thing is daily meditation, verse 7. "Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." What does it mean to meditate on God's Word? If you're taking notes, it is the prayerful and disciplined reading, understanding, reflection, and applying God's Word in all of life's situations. It is the process that we have. We do not just read, but make it our very own. It's not just mere intellectual knowledge of reading of the Bible as you may read any other novel. It must be thought about. It must be prayed for before you read the Scriptures. Ask God to open your eyes to understand the Scriptures. It means asking questions like, "What are you saying to me, Lord, in this passage? Is there something you want me to do? Is there something you don't want me to do? Is there some area in my life that you want me to change?" And when facing decisions in life, God's Word, it's amazing how so often it happens. Just the right passage at the right moment gives you directions as to what to do. You see, since God speaks to us personally through His Word, that is one way we'll find out what He wants us to do and how to live our life. The Holy Spirit will interpret it for us in a way that speaks to our individual need. Are you meditating on God's Word daily? Do you set a time where you read God's Word, praying first, asking God to open your eyes to behold the wonders of His law? Read it carefully, think about it, and ask Him to show you how to apply it in your life. Here are some of the benefits as we reflect daily on the Scriptures. It quietens our spirit. Instead of fretting and becoming discouraged, the words of Almighty God Himself will bring comfort and peace to our souls when we start reading His Word to us. It's wonderful that it's a conversation between Him and me. It purifies the heart. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. It reveals things that perhaps should not be in our lives. It shows us the way we ought to go. It sharpens perception. As you search the Scriptures, Your mind will be open to understand truths that perhaps you've never understood before. You may read a passage 100 times, and 100 times it'll have a new meaning for you as you meditate upon it. It's the old, old story which is forever new. It clarifies direction. If the path is unclear, the Lord will use meditation to speak to your heart and guide you in the right choices that He would have you to make. Spend time in His Word. That beautiful verse from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on to your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. And then, dear friends, as you meditate upon God's Word daily, it'll increase your faith. When the Lord blesses you for your obedience and does what He promises, then your confidence in Him and His Word will increase. You will see that this is for real. We need to saturate ourselves in the words of God, because the best obedience comes from the best knowledge, and the best knowledge comes from meditating on God's Word daily. That was the promise given to Joshua, and that is the promise for us today. But the problem is that so often we're just too big for God to use. We are full of our own schemes, our own way of doing things, our own selfish and proud ways. So sometimes God has to humble us, break us, empty us, before He can use us. That's painful for an experience. When you're out of God's will, He will bring you back. But He may have to use some severe measures. You see, there's no shortcut to victory. It only comes from submission and obedience. That is what so often holds us back from exercising courage when we allow fear to persist. We are called to be faithful and obedient. Fourth and final question. What is the secret to become more than a survivor? Well, Jesus put it so plainly and yet so profoundly in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The original Greek there is emphatic. You can do nothing, absolutely nothing of worth without the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? See, true discipleship is all about having an intimate relationship with the living Lord. A relationship so close and necessary as the relationship between the branch and the vine. Severed branches are fruitless and dead. A Christian is only of use to the Lord Jesus Christ as he or she is fully surrendered to the indwelling Holy Spirit. The production of grapes depends exclusively on the ability of the vine to send its life into the branch. So abiding in Christ is something like that. We have to keep constant contact with Jesus if we want to be more than a survivor. That's a daily, daily exercise. It's a relationship. It's talking and with Him along the way, praying with Him any time of the day, anything that you're doing. Of course, I don't recommend that you close your eyes and fold your hands when you're driving a car, but you can still pray. God will hear you. That's the relationship we have. Prayer is that wonderful means of grace. We are where we are in relationship with Him. We cannot do that unless we deliberately take steps to do it. You see, the Christian life's not a hit and miss proposition. The Christian life is following instructions, and the instructions are clear. If you follow these instructions, you will bear fruit. If you don't, you won't bear fruit. Simple as that. Jesus laid down His life for us. And he asks us to obey him, and he says, we are his friends if we keep his commandments. The secret life of Jesus, as we read in the Gospels, was his constant contact with his Father. The relationship of the branch and the vine is continuing communion. So, dear friends, so it is with us. We have to be in constant communion with Jesus day by day. That means when you wake up in the morning, when you're at your desk, at your office, in your home, when you're driving your car, when you're on the sports field, when you go to sleep at night, or whatever you are doing, you must abide or remain constantly in him. I'm sure you would agree that each of us is on a course of survival. Are you willing to face the challenge to get out of your comfort zone and to follow Jesus anywhere he leads you? Are you willing to step out in faith and be strong and courageous to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that rejects him? Are you willing to go against the popular belief systems of our day and to stand up for the truth of the gospel? You cannot be neutral. You cannot be passive. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. Dear friend, when you get out of your comfort zone and by God's grace and in his strength make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, then I want to tell you, you will be more than a survivor, because God has promised to go with you and support you. Jesus said, without him, we can do nothing. The Apostle Paul discovered, Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Joshua proved God to be true to his promises. He became more than a survivor, and so can you. Whatever you're going through today, will you accept the challenge to be strong and courageous, to be more than a survivor for the glory of God? If so, the Lord has promised to be with you wherever you go. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we still our hearts before you, we thank you for the challenge from your word. We thank you for the life of Joshua, who did make that stand and took you at your word and was able to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. We thank you for that promise to us today, that you, Lord, will give us the strength. You will help us to be courageous. You will help us through all the different circumstances, situations that we face in life. If we would but trust you, if we would indeed have that close communion with you daily, if we would obey you and follow you. Lord, you know each heart here before you today. You know the struggles, you know the issues, you know the questions, you know the doubts. You know all about us. There's nothing hidden from you. Just ask, Lord, that you would be gracious and to meet us each one at the point of our need today. And that, oh Father, we may leave this place different to when we came in. That we may know you as our Lord and our God, our salvation, our strength, our shield, our rock. And that we may live for you in this coming week, whatever is thrown at us. And we ask it in that name which is above every name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.